perhaps not many people may pay close attention to it, but last Sunday was the Sunday of the Word of God. Tomorrow is National Bible Sunday. So the church rightly focuses on the Word of God, the Scriptures. And if you looked at the readings of today, you saw that the first reading addresses the topic of faith, especially the example of faith, our father Abraham, extraordinary man of faith, who trusted that God could even give him descendants, even if he sacrificed his own son. And then in the gospel, Jesus asks the question of the apostles, do you not yet have faith? So we could rightly conclude that the theme of the readings today has something to do with faith. But if you looked at the song sheet, or if you got the message about today's Mass, you know that we're going to focus on today's saint, Saint Thomas Aquinas, the angelic doctor. Now, before we focus on either the angelic doctor or on the readings, already there's a lesson for us here. It's a lesson about the breadth, the richness of the Catholic faith and the Catholic approach to the spiritual life. We do not limit ourselves only to the Scriptures. Of course, we ponder the Scriptures every day. We ponder the Word every day. It's God's Word to us. But it's not His only Word to us. It's not His only way of revealing Himself to us. We do not follow the classic Protestant principle of sola scriptura, Scripture alone. We open ourselves to all the ways God reveals Himself to us, including in the sacred tradition. And we do not accept or follow the classic Protestant tradition of sola fide, faith alone. We also respect what we gain by reason, faith and reason. Well, that brings us to today's saint, Saint Thomas Aquinas, a giant of both faith and reason, a doctor of the church, one of the most brilliant minds in human history, and a holy man. We honor him as a saint, not because he's brilliant, but because he's holy. Priest of the 13th century, he was a Dominican, when the Dominicans were still a very new and kind of suspect new group in the church. So we focus on Thomas Aquinas and on his nickname, the Angelic Doctor. Well, why is he called Angelic Doctor? First of all, doctor, remember, in the church doesn't mean a physician, medical doctor. Doctor, in this context, it goes back to the old meaning of the word, which is a teacher or a learned person who teaches us, a doctor. Like a PhD, we call them a doctor. So Thomas is a teacher, an expert teacher, doctor of the church. But why angelic? There's a number of different traditions behind that nickname of Saint Thomas. But first of all, we should note, we're not talking about Thomas the Apostle. There's a lot of Thomases in the church, and the most famous one is Thomas the Apostle. He's right in the Bible. But as I say, we're not limited to the Bible. We don't focus only on characters in the Bible or passages of the Bible. We also learn from saints throughout history, even up until our own day. Why? Because the saints, they're not the source of divine revelation, but they accept the word, they accept the faith, and they put it into practice. So they put flesh on the word. They're living examples of what it means to be a Christian. So Thomas Aquinas is one of these. Going back to my idea that this is an expression of the richness and breadth of the Catholic faith, that's why we have statues of saints. Not just biblical statues like we have here, but in the Catholic Church, we have statues of Thomas Aquinas or Francis of Assisi or Padre Pio or anybody, Saint John Paul the Great. We could have a statue of any of them because, not because we worship saints, we don't. but because the saints show us what it means to be a Christian, show us the way to put flesh on the word, to live out the faith. Okay, so today's Thomas Aquinas. One of the reasons why he's called angelic, so they say, is that he wrote so clearly and beautifully about the angels. He has developed treatises on the angels. Well, he wrote pretty much about everything. He wrote about every topic of the faith, and he wrote with clarity and wisdom about almost every topic you can think of. You know his famous work, the Summa Theologica, the Summa. I mean, it's like a compendium of all theology. And that wasn't the only Summa he wrote. So he wrote just volumes and volumes, and one of his great accomplishments was clear teaching about Christian understanding of the angels. So that makes him an angelic doctor, because he teaches about angels. Another reason why people say he has this nickname, angelic doctor, is because of the clarity of his teaching, as if he were able to see beyond what our normal human vision can see, as if he could see what angels saw. Well, what do angels see? They see God. They see the spiritual reality. They see clearly. They don't have any sin or imperfection interfering with their vision. Remember that passage about the little children. Why should we respect and care for little children? Because their angels look on the face of God. That's what angels do. They look at God. They see God. And Thomas Aquinas has this quality in his writings that is, if he's looking at God, and what he writes down is a communication of what he sees. Although he himself, you know, the story of what happened at the end of his life, he had a mystical vision or a mystical experience of some kind, and he stopped writing. He stopped writing, and his scribes or attendants said, "Well, let's finish the book. Let's finish what you're working on. Let's get back to work." He said, "I can't. I can't do any more. Compared to what I have seen, all that I have written is only so much straw, as if it's worthless." All this brilliant, some of the greatest writings in church history appeared to him, the author himself, as so much straw, worthless. So in that sense, he had an angelic vision at the end of his life. There's also a tradition that he has this title angelic doctor because of his purity of heart. If you looked at tomorrow's readings, you know that we're going to read the Beatitudes in the Gospel tomorrow. One of the Beatitudes is, "Blessed are the pure of heart." What is the reward of being pure of heart? "Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God." So that angelic vision again. To see God, we have to have pure hearts. And Thomas Aquinas has a reputation for being pure-hearted, chaste, clean, whole. Another story from his life is, this is related to his purity, his chastity. When he was still a young man, he had been trained by the Benedictines, and his family wanted him to become a Benedictine, because Benedictines were very well established, and they had big monasteries and abbeys and lots of property, and to be a Benedictine was kind of like moving up in the world. So he came from a noble family, and he was supposed to do noble things. But Thomas was attracted to the Dominicans, who were nobodies in the church at that time. They had only been founded about 20 or 30 years earlier, St. Dominic, and so they had no big monasteries or big properties or high titles. And here's this man with his brilliant intellect and his noble background and his career opportunity before him, and he chooses to go to the Dominicans. Well, the family didn't like it. They said, "We're not going to let this guy go to the Dominicans." So he was on his way, actually, to the Dominicans, and they kidnapped him. His brothers, they grabbed him, and they brought him back home, and they locked him up to try to convince him to come to his senses and join the Benedictines. Well, he was stubborn. He said, "No, I'm not going to do it." So at some point, a couple of his brothers said, "Well, we'll change his mind." They found a prostitute, and they brought the prostitute to his room and put her in the room with him. So this will change his mind. According to the story, he grabbed a log burning from his fireplace and chased her out of the room. So, and then after that, this is again, according to the tradition, angels came and wrapped him with a mystical sash of some kind, a symbol of the spirit of his chastity, his purity of heart, so that he would not be at risk of any temptation against chastity. So that's why he's an angelic doctor. Now, chastity does not only mean chasing away prostitutes, by the way. Chastity has to do with right-ordered love, spiritually and physically. What we do in our hearts, in all our relationships, and how we express our love in our relationships. So that's chastity. And chastity, purity, is necessary for seeing God, is necessary for seeing what the angels see. It's a virtue that is kind of forgotten nowadays. But if you've ever seen the poster in our bulletin board, it's been there for years already. Chastity is a big word, and everyone is called to it. Everyone's called to write, to order their love properly. Well, in order to order our love properly, we need faith and reason. And this is where Thomas, again, is a great guide for us. Why faith and reason? What does reason have to do with it? But you could say we could live on faith alone, but why do that? Why do that? Why limit our understanding of what God wants of us to what he reveals and only our initial impression of it? What Thomas did was he thought deeply about, he used reason to understand faith better. That strengthened him and made his vision clearer, made him more angelic. And this is what we are all called to do, to use all of our tools and all of our weapons to understand and live our faith better. So Thomas is a great champion of the right use of reason. Another story about Thomas's journey. You know, shortly before Thomas's lifetime, this is 12th, 13th century, there was a rediscovery of some of the ancient Greek philosophers, especially Aristotle. Aristotle, who was like one of the high points of classical Greek wisdom, his writings had been lost. And so he was not studied very much until he had been rediscovered in the Western world through the Muslims. The Muslims had preserved some of his writings, and he had been translated from Greek into Latin. So at Thomas's time, Aristotle, who was a pagan, not a Christian, lived before Christ, Aristotle was like the fad among the scholars. But the Christians were saying, what good is this guy? He's not even a Christian. And Thomas said, wait a minute, this man Aristotle has something to say. He can help us understand our faith. And so he took the ordered or structured way of thinking, the system of thought of Aristotle, and he baptized it. He used it. Not all of it, because Aristotle was a pagan. He didn't know everything. But he used what was good for the promotion of the faith and developed this extraordinary synthesis of classical Greek wisdom and Christian faith to make the faith shine more brightly, to make it easier for people who were thinking in new ways to live their faith. And this is a task that is not only for the 13th century, it's a task for every age. In our age, we don't have to think that much about how Aristotle thought, because we don't think like Aristotle, and we don't even think very much like Thomas. We think like modern people think. We're influenced by the postmodern world and postmodern philosophy. And so we have to be able to take what's good and use it to understand and live our faith. But this is all part of what we learned from Thomas. We might not be, well, none of us is, as brilliant as he is, and none of us is as angelic as he is, as holy as he is, but he helps us by his teaching and by his example and by his prayer. So on this feast day of St. Thomas, I didn't even get to the scriptures. Okay, well, I was going to talk about faith because of the faith of the apostles faltering when they had this storm in the boat, but I guess I don't have time to go into it. Why did Jesus ask them why they're terrified? Why did they have no faith? Because they were overcome by their natural perception, which was the storm, and they forgot the power of God, which they didn't see. All they could see was Jesus sleeping in the boat. So they were no longer able to be at peace. They couldn't live, go beyond what they could see with their eyes. They couldn't do what Abraham was able to do. And that's why Jesus chastised them. The message being for us, we are called to live by faith, and when we use our reason to strengthen our faith, we know that there's more going on than what we can see. We know that God is not asleep, even if it looks like he is. We know that we're not going to be overcome by storms, trials, evil, and that's dominating the world. We know that the storms don't have to win, even though it looks like they will, because by faith we can see more. Okay, well, that's what I meant to focus on, but I don't want to go too long. Let's follow the example, the inspiration of St. Thomas, the angelic doctor. An example that leads us beyond reason alone, beyond nature alone, beyond this world alone, gives us a vision of God, gives us purity of heart, gives us the strength to persevere in faith and hope and love.